we are joined by a two-time NBA champion, a 10-time All-Star, the NBA's all-time leader in three-point shots made. He was an All-American and a Big East Player of the Year at UConn, an Olympic gold medalist, a member of the Hall of Fame class of 2018, and the author of From the Outside, My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love, which is out right now. We are joined by Ray Allen. Ray, good morning. It's great to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jim? Thanks
good.
For having me.
Good, Ray. Great to get caught up. You know, there are a lot of things I want to talk to you about, Ray, but let me start right here. Take me back to the weekend where you were officially introduced as a member of the Hall of Fame class of 2018. What was that moment like for you?
It was certainly a whirlwind, Jim. We came from the whole week in New York promoting the book tour, and then toward the end of the week I had this I get this phone call. I was actually traveling from New York to Boston, and they tell me, hey, you've been inducted into the Hall of Fame class of 2018. And then obviously, you know, Grant and Jason and Steve and Charlie Scott and Tina Thompson, some great names, some people that I looked up to and people who I came into the league with. It was such an amazing week I had. And I just feel so honored and privileged to be, like, able to – at the end of the road, say it ended up with a Hall of Fame nod.
Ray Allen joining us. You know, Ray, you mentioned that class. Like, as I look back on your journey, and this is something you've talked about in your book, you kept progressing as a player at every single level. I mean, from high school to college to the NBA, you became part of a smaller and more elite group every step of the way. Now you're in the Hall of Fame, and you go in with a class, part of a class which includes Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, and Grant Hill, among others. So what's it feel like to know that you are now part of the most elite group in basketball history?
Well, I learned a stat that said that there's maybe only 150 to 160 living Hall of Famers. So to think about how select few people that is an amazing feat. And then, you know, just to think about everybody that I came along with, to be able to go from one stage to the next and to continue to improve. I've been equated to a video game. You know, when you start one level and if you beat the guy at the end and you get to the next level, I believe we all go through that type of challenge in life where you have somebody that stands in your way and you have to learn something from them, good or bad, to be able to move on. But one way or the other, you have to improve who you are to get to the next level.
We're talking to Ray Allen. Ray, in the book, you open up by writing about the final seconds of Game 6 of the 2013 Finals against the Spurs. That was the game where you hit that legendary shot that forced the game into OT, where you eventually won it and then won Game 7. So when you close your eyes and you think about that game, what thoughts or images come to mind?
I'm glad I didn't miss.
Right.
Yeah, because most people, and this is the way I operate in life, is they're afraid to take that shot because they don't want to be the one that didn't help their team. And ultimately, you end up hurting your team if you don't take the shot. But ultimately, I think, what if I make the shot as opposed to what if I miss? And that's about everything in life. Like, you give your best to something, and then you see what the outcome may be. But for the most part, you prepare yourself so when the opportunity comes, you're ready to perform. It doesn't always go in your favor, but for the most part, you can say you gave it your all. You know, one of my favorite quotes is the man in the arena, Franklin Roosevelt. You know, just the fact that people showed up, those are the ones that count. Those are the men that stood up and were there to be accountable for.
You know, Ray, it seems to me, I get that. You're right. There's something about the man in the arena, the guys who are actually doing it. But if you take it a step further, and to the other point that I think you're making, it still takes a different breed to want that ball in the moment. And as you realize in your career, you were always that guy who wanted the ball in that situation, but not everybody does. What do you make of the guys who don't want that ball in that moment?
Well, the guys who don't want that moment or the ball in that moment are guys that don't practice those situations. The one thing that I was always meticulous about is in the game scenarios, coming out of timeouts, like ending games, where's everybody going to be? What are we going to figure it out? And I learned this because I had good coaches that made sure that we focused on the small little minute details of the game. And so for me, what I focused on was you got to make free throws and you got to put yourself in a situation where you can make a three that you're not standing still because somebody's rushing out on you. So you got to practice that routine every single day.
Ray Allen joining us. He's a member of the Hall of Fame. He's got a book out too. Ray, I feel like when you and I talked years ago, we talked about your routine, and it is the pregame routine especially is the stuff of legend. Mark Cuban said that whenever you came to town, he would go to the gym early just to watch you go through your pregame routine. How did that routine come about, and why was that so important to you?
At first, I would be on the floor. I remember my first year, I would just be out there just kind of messing around. And Chris Ford actually yanked my chain a little bit. And he said, you know, young fella, you just don't do anything. You don't have a routine. You just are just kind of fluttering around. And so what happened was I took Michael Curry and Elliot Perry. And we developed a routine where the three of us figured out the time that we can get to the floor where there was nobody else out on the floor. We can go out and just shoot, be on the floor and off the floor before anybody else came in, because we used to always early, we'd have big guys up there shooting shots, and we were like, we couldn't focus. So we found a good time to get there and get our shots up and be off the floor and be prepared. And then as they moved on and I was by myself, it's just something I just crafted over time that I just started figuring out how to shoot. If I had the guy to rebound for me, if I was in there by myself, a lot of times I'd shoot in gyms where there was no lights. You know, sometimes I had to borrow clothes because my trainer wasn't there yet. So I was just prepared for all things, but I would never let anybody stop me from getting my shots up.
Hall of Famer Ray Allen joining us. Ray, something that comes up in your book a number of times is the first time you saw Michael Jordan on TV against the Knicks. What was it about the way that he played that had such an impact on you?
Well, I learned that the game was more than just, you know, playing basketball, shooting the ball, putting it in the hoop. He played with such a grace and flair that he could make shots. I remember he kind of went to the hole and he took the contact and he put the ball up behind his head and it hit out the glass. It was like, how did he know where the basket was?
Hmm.
How did he know how to just get through everybody the way he did? And I saw how he took the game and he played it on another level from what everybody else was playing. And I wondered, could I ever get to that level of playing?
Ray Allen's got a book out. It's called From the Outside, My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love. That book is out right now. You know, Ray, you came into the league and you went through some seasons where there was not a lot of winning. And then, of course, you go to Boston and you join Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. The three of you had been through a lot of losing in your career. So how did that impact the way you approached the challenge in Boston?
Well, we knew when we got to Boston, we weren't focused on who was going to lead the team in scoring or who was going to shoot the last second shot. We were mainly focused on winning. It wasn't about all-star games or contracts. We had been through that phase in our lives where you needed extra touches. Why didn't I get the ball at the end of the game? Or, you know, just the small little minute details that you focus on that make you somewhat of a young, selfish, immature player. But when we got to Boston, it was like all that stuff. Okay, let's get rid of all that. Like we're not worried about that. We just want to win, and whatever it takes for us to win, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it every single night.
All right. So if you guys all come together and you're all about the right stuff and it works, but then you win a championship, then you have that success that you're all grinding so hard for. Once you get that, how hard is it then to keep it all together and try and come back and repeat? Does winning change people?
Winning certainly changes people because typically you want more, and you've proven that you can do your job and you should get paid more. If there's a contract that somebody's playing for, or you're a young player and you want to make the all-star team now, you start looking at individual goals that you can accomplish amidst what we're doing as a team. And ultimately, for every team out there, no matter what level you play at, if you win one year and you have an opportunity to win next, that's probably the hardest thing you have to deal with is the expectation of the players. And it's a great coach that could manage those expectations going into that next year where you get everybody to go back. It's like ask a player to improve himself but still play into your role that you played the previous year and improve that role.
And everything's dynamic, right? Everything changes. And speaking of dynamic, I mean, Ray, as great as it was to win there, the dynamic between the members of the 08 Celtics championship team has been a bit unusual, to say the least. And as you've said, there has been some vitriol directed at you from the guys who you regarded as brothers. I know you've talked about this, Ray, so I won't belabor the point. But as you look back, what was that whole experience like for you as a person?
You know, it was tough as a person because, you know, bonds are created in this game. Friendships are crafted. Families grow because you take on, you know, family members of other teammates and their siblings and their mothers and their grandfathers. You get to know them very well. And then to see that change just because you move teams is disappointing. So, for me, you just have to move on, because for us, it's how do we continue to move forward and grow? And like, you know, and I think most people do know, like, the game of sports, it's a professional business, and we have to move on, and you got to move to the next team and figure out how to get better and ultimately win a championship, if that's hopefully should be your goal.
It is a business, and I would even argue, Ray, that there really is almost no loyalty in professional sports, and if there is, it's very, very rare. So in your personal experience, Ray, when you see bonds like that that are broken, generally do they get repaired, or once they break, is that it, and does everybody just move on?
Well, I always say anger is a tough emotion to control. You can have the gift of anger. You use the anger that you have, and you use it as a force to make your life better because you want to improve on things, but not to prove that you're right, because it's not a right or wrong situation. But you learn from it, and you grow, and you figure out, okay, you know, in certain situations I was probably immature, and, you know, I shouldn't have been mad at this person. I should have learned from them. And that's a lot of what my relationship growth has been over the course of my time in my life. And so now I can sit here as a grown man, having written this book, that there's so many people that I learned from, good and bad, that ultimately made me who I was, ultimately end up winning championships. So it all takes the person's growth, their personal growth, their maturity to say, you know, what was I mad about? Like, if we were playing a game, like, what was the big deal?
We're talking to Ray Allen. You know, Ray, as you look over your career, and you and I can go on and on and on, there's so many areas of your career that we could talk about, because it was an amazing career, and this is a great book you've written. Let me finally ask you this. I could ask you about any of your other teammates, but I have to ask you about one of my all-time favorites, Sam Cassell. What was it like to play with Sam Cassell and spend time with Sam?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because he's one of my favorite teammates, because Sam, the ultimate competitor, any young player that came into the league, you just thought you had the best, you can get the best of him, because he wasn't athletic. You didn't look at him and you weren't intimidated by him. But Sam was, he was a competitor. He was a player. Like, he was so crafty around the basket. He had a great mid-range game. He could shoot the three if he was out there. His post-up game was tougher than anybody's. And so no matter what was happening in the game, he always felt like he had an opportunity to win. And that was the thing that I admired most, because I've been around a lot of players that would give up on you because, you know, the game was over. But Sam would always keep fighting. And then he had great character. Like, he had great charisma. Like, he could talk to anybody. And he always had this exuberance for the game and for life. And that's something I always appreciated about him.
He's a member of the Hall of Fame class of 2018. Ray Allen also has a book out. It's called From the Outside, My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love, and it is out right now. Ray, it's been a minute or two, but it's so good to get caught up. Thanks so much, Ray. Great to talk to you.